trying to figure out how Brother Goulias's name would be spelled that Joe was talking about. But I like that. Where are the young men that are racing to get there ahead of the older men that are taking care of those things? I look back and I wish I was better as a young man about racing to the church property. And why didn't I cut grass? Why didn't I get to church and take care of this? Why didn't I? And so I can't go back in time and fix all the things I wish I had done. But young person, be that person that's trying to race and get those things done. And then, boy, that posture of prayer, getting down on your knees. Now, if you're in your 80s and you think, I'm wrong not to be on my knees, we're not saying that. That's, if God says get on your knees and pray, you better. But I'm not saying you're wrong if you don't. But I think a lot of us could think a little more about our posture of prayer. At least once a day, do you find yourself in some highly reverential posture, showing God that I am humble before you. That posture, I think, I don't know, sometimes you're in that relaxed position. Somebody says, hey, let's pray. You're like, okay. And hopefully something inside can awaken where you're like, oh, wait, we're going to the Lord? Okay, let me get out of this. You can pray in a relaxed position, but is coming before the Lord a relaxed thing, or is he a holy, right, almighty God? You can turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. I'm going to start with Matthew chapter 7. Here in chapter Matthew 7:7, it says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. So God comes to us and says, ask, and it shall be given you. I want us to remember that we're invited to ask, and it shall be given you. And then I want to go back. We were looking at King Solomon a couple weeks ago when he, the whole cutting the baby in half story. And if you weren't here and you're like, what? They didn't cut the baby in half. Just to set your heart and mind at ease. But here, God comes to Solomon and he says, basically, ask what shall be given you. And I find it very interesting how Solomon was able to please God with his response. So today, God has said to each one of us, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. How can we respond to a command like this in a God-pleasing way? So here we are in 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. I'm going to look at these things, but I'm going to zero in mostly on after Solomon told God, responded, God said, you didn't ask for these three things. And I find it interesting that God was pleased with what Solomon didn't ask for. And I want to think about that. Why was God so pleased in what Solomon didn't ask for? I find that interesting. He laid out three things that he didn't ask for, and it pleased him that he left those off the table. So 1 Kings 3, verses 3 and 4, let's pray and then we'll get into the passage. Lord, I pray that you be with this time looking into your word. And Lord, each one of us have that command, ask and it shall be given you. I pray, Lord, that we would learn how to approach you and how to honor you in responding to the command, Lord. It's not just an invitation. Lord, you command us to come and ask great things of you. I pray that you'd help us as we look at these ideas today. Lord, speak to me and through me. Please meet with us, Lord. Lord, if there's sin in this room, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd point it out and we'd say, oh, God, forgive me. I want nothing between my soul and the Savior. Lord, I just pray that you'd meet with us this morning. I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, Solomon loved the Lord. Can that be said of you today? Can that be said of you? Not just, oh, I tell people I love, would God say, oh, no, that person loves me. That person values me above the other things that the cheap and easy things that please them. No, they love me and put me ahead of those cheap and easy things. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David, his father. Only he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. So Solomon lavished his love on the Lord. Here were 1,000 burnt offerings. Later on, with the completion and dedication of the temple, his love became even more lavish. There were 22,000 oxen that were offered and 120,000 sheep. Great love results in great giving. Are you aware of that? We saw the pattern started with God, right? John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave. And it wasn't anything paltry that he gave. He gave the greatest treasure that heaven had to give. Great love results in great giving. Here, Solomon's love was right, and it resulted in lavish giving. By the way, when your love is right, you're in a good place to respond properly to when God says, ask, and it shall be given you. That's the question today. God wants me, he says, ask, and it shall be given you. And I want to come to him the right way because God has a lot to give, and I don't want to miss anything he has for me. Great love results in great giving. Boy, and it started with God, doesn't it? 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. And so we don't want to try to just come up with love. We want to understand that he started the whole thing, and I am responding to his love. I learn what love is from studying him. I learn what love is from responding to the love that he started. Boy, Brother Gibbs, last Sunday, he said, how many of you spend that 30 minutes in prayer for your country? We have 30 whole minutes talking to God. And it was convicting, wasn't it, to think of the things we'll waste 30 minutes on. I remember almost 2 decades ago, we went on this vacation with several families, and somebody brought a video game. And so they said, come try this. And so I'm playing video games, and I was having fun. I was enjoying it, and my wife came down and said, hey, some of us are going to watch a movie, and do you want to? And I said, no. Yep. And so she comes back what seemed like a little while later and said, hey, what are you guys doing? And I said, we're just playing this game. Weren't you going to go watch your movie? And she said, we just did. A whole 2 hour whatever had just zipped by, and it didn't feel like that was even possible. But how convicting is it that when we think of 30 minutes with God, we think, oh, what would I even say to him? That should break our hearts. What would I even say to him for 30 minutes? It helps to start with, but I love you. Amen. So much. I owe you everything. Today is all about you. Heaven gave its greatest treasure for me. May everything I have and everything I am be at your disposal today. Lord, I love you so much. Solomon loved the Lord. Boy, how am I going to have a heart that's ready to respond when God says ask? Boy, love is going to be so important. Let's keep going. Verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. Oh man, how exciting. If only God would say those words to me. Wait, we just read it, didn't we? He has. And Solomon said, so again, God says, ask what I shall give thee. And so right away, he begins focusing on the giver, not on what I can get, on the giver. First of all, Solomon, so you see thou, a lot, we're focusing on the giver. Focusing on the giver, and I like that here. Solomon says, thou hast shown unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness. And thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. So he gets a good glimpse of God. That'll prepare you. That'll prepare you. When you're going to ask, ask what I shall give thee. Get a good glimpse of God. Get a good glimpse of the giver. Don't focus on all the things you don't have. Start with who you do have. And then he's ready to go into talking about himself. He has a true perspective on who he is after he has a perspective of who God is. Verse 7, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made, and in the end there, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord. That's our question today. How can I pray in such a way that heaven is pleased? It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to him, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked. Here it is. He points out three things that he didn't bring up and it pleased God. Thou hast not asked for thyself long life. You say, wait a second. What's wrong with long life? That's more days to serve God with. Okay, we'll explore that a little bit. Neither hast thou asked for thyself, for riches for thyself. And you're like, riches? Isn't that more tithe to drop in the offering plate? What could be wrong with that? Nor hast asked the life of thine enemies. Like, what's wrong with that? If I'm trying to please God and there's people that are against me, isn't it a good thing if they go away somehow? But God was pleased that he didn't bring these things up. But hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments that thy father David did walk, then I will lengthen thy days. So God told Solomon, and he didn't ask Solomon. He told him, ask what I shall give thee. It was an imperative. But instead of making an immediate request, let's see, what do I want? What do I want? He did not go there right away. He said, let me focus on you for just a bit. He owed God so much. His heart overflowed with gratitude. Boy, that's, again, I bring this up a lot, but the first thing the devil did to Eve was get her attention on what she didn't have. That one tree she couldn't partake of. When she had a whole garden, she could enjoy. Boy, when God says, ask, but I shall give thee. And Solomon said, well, let me just take a moment and enjoy for a little bit who I already have. His heart was overflowing with gratitude to the Lord for his wonderful goodness to him as a king. A heart of thankfulness gets us ready to pray prayers that please God. He was thankful that God had been kind to his father David. And again, it's amazing that he said David had been faithful to the Lord and lived a righteous and upright life. And sometimes we would look and say he did. I mean, there were some good things, but there were some awful things in there too. But aren't you glad God's forgiving? Oh man, so he was able to speak of his father as being upright and righteous, and the Lord didn't correct him. All right? He was a forgiven man, and he was counted to be an upright and righteous man. Aren't you glad for forgiveness? He was thankful also that God had given a son to continue David's dynasty in Solomon. Solomon knew that he had been given the privilege of ruling only by the grace of God. And only because his father David had lived that righteous life with a heart full of praise and thanksgiving, Solomon expressed his gratitude to the Lord for the wonderful privilege of ruling and sitting upon the throne of David. Yes, there was an immense amount of weight with that responsibility, but there was also an immense amount of privilege. Oh, what a privilege it is to serve God on high. There was a heart of love will get you ready to pray prayers that please God. There was a heart of gratitude. A heart of gratitude will get your heart ready to pray prayers that please God. But then there was a heart of humility. Oh, a heart of humility will get your heart ready to pray prayers that please God. He was gripped by a deep, intense sense of helplessness and inadequacy for the awesome task ahead of him. Knowing how inexperienced he was in government, he referred to himself as only a little child. Within the halls of government, he simply did not know how to go out or come in, how to find his way around, how to carry out his duties and perform his tasks as king. Solomon was gripped by a sense of a desperate need for God's help. God's chosen people were too precious to do the job without God's help. Fathers, we need that heart for our children. They're too precious not to have God's help in dealing with them. Husbands, we need that heart toward our wives. Their value, a godly wife, their value is far above rubies. Oh, Lord, help me. Help me to be the right husband to her. Moms, you need that heart. Whatever responsibility, whoever you have in your care, oh, let's be desperate. Oh, God, they're precious. They're precious, and I need your heart, your help to lead them and guide them. Boy, there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, the second half of that verse, it says, "Them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Boy, I tell you, you treat God like he's important. Oh, and the dividends. You wake up, Lord, it's all about you, the dividends that you will enjoy. But if you wake up and you live day by day like, I'm glad God's there. I'm glad he exists so that I'm free to do what I want. I'm glad that the sun comes up. I'm glad that there's air there for me to breathe. Oh, you despise him. He's back burner in your life. The Bible says, they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. But there's a promise. Them that honor me will I honor. Here, Solomon had a heart of love, a heart of gratitude, and a heart of humility. He honored God, and heaven honored him back. Solomon's striking request comes next. He requested an understanding and discerning heart so that he might govern God's people and discern between good and evil, right and wrong. Without this wisdom, he would not be able to govern the great nation of Israel, God's special people. By an understanding and discerning heart, he meant a heart that could understand issues and discern truth. A heart that could tell the difference between good and bad, right and wrong, truth and falsehood, righteousness and evil. He also wanted a heart that was patient. I could set aside the things that I'm concerned with and listen to what you're concerned with. A heart that could listen and take time to hear the different sides of an issue and could discern and judge the truth. A tender and patient heart and a sharp mind that had the ability to reason and think the issues through. Boy, his striking request pleased the Lord. He requested that understanding and discerning heart so that he might minister justice among the people. Because Solomon's heart was wise and his request humble, the Lord, in response to that striking request, made an astounding promise. He would be given a wise and discerning heart, a heart that had never been nor ever would be surpassed. But in addition, he would be given things that he didn't ask for. He would be given wealth and honor above all of his contemporaries. He would be given long life, but this promise was conditional based upon obedience. God mentions three things that Solomon did not ask for, and I'm going to kind of examine those for just a little bit. The things that Solomon did not ask for, and I find it interesting here in verse 11, because thou hast asked this thing and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies. But he does go on to say, but hast asked for thyself, understanding to discern judgment. I think the for thyself changes there. The things that he would have asked for himself lustfully. The things that he would crave. Just like in the Bible there in James 4 verses 2 and 3. Ye lust and ye have not. Boy, when we have cravings, selfish cravings, and we try to respond to that, ask and it shall be given you with our own lustful selfishness. Boy, ye lust and have not. I think God here, for thyself, the for thyself's of lust. Ye kill and desire to have, ye cannot obtain, ye fight and war. Ye have not because ye ask not. And if you do ask, ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. There was no selfishness in Solomon in this prayer. These for thyself. God said, you're not praying these prayers for yourself. You're looking beyond self to the people I've given you to lead. He did ask for that, for the ability to do well what God had given him to do. And I think that pleased God. There in 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, lust of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Here we have the devil tempts us to do things that God does not want us to do. To be things that God does not want us to be. Or to have things that God does not want us to have. And when we lustfully crave those things, God is not pleased. However, there are things God does want us to do that he's given us to do. There are things he wants us to have that he wants us to use in his service. And there are things he wants us to be for his service. Here was a difference. You didn't ask for yourself these things, but you asked for thyself a heart. Wisdom to do well what I have given you to do. It's not about you, Solomon. I'm pleased because in your prayer, it's about me. I think these three areas, I think it would have been a certain degree of self-reliance. All these things, long life or the riches or the death of the enemies, I think to some degree there would have been self-reliance involved. Boy, God, if I can just look to myself, that would be better. I can cut out the middleman. If I don't have to ask you to help with something, but I have it in my pocket already, doesn't that save time? Doesn't that cut out the red tape of spiritual bureaucracy? Right? I got to go to you for approval. I've got to go to you for help. It'd be so much better if I could rely on myself. We are programmed that way. But that's why we come to church and ask God to reprogram us through the preaching of his word. We don't like to be held up by that whole Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 thing, do we? That trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths. It just seems like it will take too much time to get anything done if I'm trusting you and acknowledging you with everything. But then Solomon got wisdom because, again, writing these words, verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. So God was pleased with what Solomon did not ask for. And let's unpack that for just a little bit. Why? With a long life, Solomon could have craved a protracted life. Riches, he could have craved a powerful and plenteous life. Or the death of his enemies, he could have craved a problem-free life. But God's pleased that he didn't crave these things. Instead, he craved more ability, an enhancement of his ability to do well what God had given him to do. So what's wrong with a protracted life? A drawn-out life? A lengthened life? More days to please God with? That's all I see there. But sometimes we want that long life so that I don't have to treat time like it's precious. The fact is, we don't know if we're going to survive the day. And because we don't know, time should be precious. If we knew that we had decades and decades and decades ahead of us, boy, I can look after what I want now and please God later. The fact that we don't know how much longer we have reminds us, I better do the important things now because I may not get a chance later. James 4, 13 through 14 reminds us, go to now, ye that say, tomorrow, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Oh, friend, if the Holy Spirit is prompting you, is saying you need to take care of something today, maybe it's your soul. Maybe you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior. Dr. Vogan talked about it this morning in Sunday school. But as many as received, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Have you ever received? And the Holy Spirit said, take care of it today. And you'll say, later! You don't know if there's going to be a later. For the believer, the imminency of Christ drives us to live that pure life. Oh, knowing He could be here at any moment drives us to be pure if we meditate on those things. 1 John 3, 1 through 3, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. The fact that God will just promise me that I'll have decades and decades. That's not how God wants it to be. We don't know how long we have. John chapter 9 verse 4. Even Jesus recognized His time was limited. Jesus says, I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Time is running out, and we only have so much left. Boy, this life is so short, and eternity is so long. Let's get busy about the important things in this life. If a little bird took a grain of Hawaii, came and took a little piece of the sand of Hawaii, and flew that grain up to Alaska and deposited it, and then came right back and grabbed another grain of dirt or whatever, peck away at some lava rock and get something to, by the time